I don't know about you, but I know that I love being Catholic. There are so many great things about our faith and about our church. Not that everyone within it is perfect. We're all sinners. We all have our faults. But the church and our faith, it's beautiful. And I love being Catholic and being a part of all of it. I mean, if you look at our church building, for example, one of the things that we believe as Catholics is that we can have images to help us on our journey, images to help us think of the things that we can't see. So we have these beautiful stained glass windows of saints. We have statues of saints and angels, statues of our Lord. We have the Stations of the Cross. We have all of these things that help us. Because when we think about what we hear in sacred scripture, there are times where it's difficult to imagine, difficult to understand. And so we have all of these beautiful things to help us on our journey, to try to connect more fully with the things that are invisible and yet so real. Being Catholic, when we have our celebrations, such as the Mass, we try to engage the whole person, not just listening to someone speak or singing music, but we also have like full body participation. We've already stood and sat a couple times, for example. And we have opportunities for us to come forward and receive our Lord in Holy Communion. We have different things. On special occasions, we use incense, engaging the sense of smell. So if we think about the different senses of the body, we are trying to engage that in the way that we worship our God, the way that we look to Him to help us to focus. That by engaging the body and the senses, then hopefully we're also engaging the heart and the mind. We also have a beautiful history in the church. We can look at our teachings, and they go back all the way to Scripture itself, all the way to Christ Himself. And some of our practices even predate Christ, because God had a relationship with humanity from the very beginning. And we can actually see Jewish roots of the Eucharist and many other things. And so we have this continuity in our church as well. But these signs and symbols, these rituals, these celebrations, they're not just to help us look past the material world, the visible world, to reach the invisible. Some of these things actually communicate the invisible grace of God. These sensible signs, in certain circumstances, are guaranteed to transmit God's grace. And we call those things sacraments. And so when we celebrate the sacraments, whether it be reconciliation or baptism or celebrating the Eucharist, God's grace is being communicated to us through these signs. How do we know that it's being given? Well, did we see the things happen that need to happen for that sacrament? If yes, then we know God's grace is being transmitted. And that's very comforting. That's very helpful. That's very good for all of us. Because journeying with the Lord is not always easy. And we need His grace to be the best that we can be. We need His grace to become the saints that He wants to make us. If we looked at our gospel passage, we hear about how Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Now the branch can't do anything without the vine. The vine provides it with the nourishment it needs in order to be fruitful. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Jesus provides us with the grace we need in order to be fruitful, in order for us to grow in virtue, in order for us to become saints. We need to remain in Him, be connected to Him. And what exactly does that mean, to remain in the Lord? He tells us, remain in me as I remain in you. Well, part of that is remaining in relationship with the Lord through daily prayer. Part of that is remaining in relationship with the Lord through the sacraments. If we look at the different sacraments, they all have their own specialty, their own way of communicating God's grace to us. And one of them, the Eucharist, is a lot like the vine and the branches, inasmuch as the Eucharist is a means in which we are being nourished, spiritually nourished, to help us on the journey. If we think about a vine and branches, the vine is supplying a kind of sap that nourishes the branches. And if the branch were to no longer receive that, the branch would wither and die. But we are to continuously receive nourishment from the Lord. And he gives us his very self in the Eucharist. What a blessing. What an honor. What a great grace. And just yesterday, our second graders were able to receive Jesus in their first Holy Communion. How awesome is that for them? What a great blessing that is. And so, to help us celebrate their first Holy Communion, today at Mass, we're going to also celebrate their second Holy Communion. So for our second graders who went to first Holy Communion, received Jesus for the first time, they will be the first of the congregation at this Mass to receive their second Holy Communion, and allowing us to celebrate with them. This is such a great blessing. Another way we are called to remain in the Lord, we heard about in our second reading. We heard about how we need to follow the commandments. When we choose to separate ourselves from God by sin, then it's like the branch rejecting the grace that's being given it, the branch rejecting that nourishment that God wants to provide. And what happens if we reject that? We wither, we die, spiritually speaking. Our Lord doesn't want that to happen to us. He wants us to remain in him. And following his commandments is one of the ways we do that. The Lord knows us perfectly. He knows exactly what we need. And he tells us what's good for us. The things that we should do, the things that we shouldn't do. Now, we are children, children of our Heavenly Father. And just like little kids, they don't always understand mom and dad's rules. But mom and dad are trying to help them be the best they can be. And if the children follow those rules, then they will be better off for that, right? That's what we all hope anyway. So it's good for us to follow the rules of the Heavenly Father. Because even though we may not recognize at that moment why God says, do it this way and not that way, knowing that he is a perfectly loving Father and he designed us in a particular way and he wants the best for us, we can trust that whatever he asks of us is what's going to make us the best that we can be. And so we have the commandments given to us to help us. We're also called to live out the faith with hope and in love. We heard at the very beginning of our second reading that we are to love, not just in word or speech, but in deed and in truth, that we are to live out the faith. So it's not just we say that we're Catholic. Do our lives reflect that? Do we express it in the things that we say and do? Are we living out the good things that need to be done through prayer, through sacraments, but also through loving one another, through caring for our neighbors in need? One small example would be, we say that we are pro-life, and that's great, and that's true. That's the position we take, that all human life is dignified. Sometimes, though, we focus only at the very beginning. We do want to protect the unborn. We do want to help mothers to carry their child to term. But we also need to help life past that point. And in many ways, we do, through pregnancy resource centers. But even past that, if the parents can't take care of the child, in what ways do we support them? Hopefully through adoption and foster care, supporting these things as well to help raise the children so that they can be the best they can be, so that they can become the saints God wants them to be. God may be calling us to help in these other ways too, to live out our faith in love and in truth. Saul takes a risk to live out the faith for Christ. He was persecuting the church, but then after he encountered the Lord, it radically changed his life. And he started to preach about Jesus. But the other disciples did not accept that as sufficient evidence. Okay, you're using words, you're using speech, but we don't believe you're really a disciple. It wasn't until he was almost put to death that he risked his life for Jesus. Then the disciples, the apostles are like, okay, Saul, we believe you. You are a disciple. You really are living out the faith. We see that in your actions. We see that in your perseverance. And so we too are called to live out the faith, to be the best that we can be, to be nourished by the vine, because we are the branches. By that remaining in the Lord, we can be the most fruitful that we can be. So brothers and sisters in Christ, let us consider how we can better remain in the Lord and live out our faith as we prepare to meet Jesus Christ in the most holy.